Want to teach your kids financial literacy, but not sure where to start? Greenlight can help. With Greenlight, parents can keep an eye on kids' spending and saving, while kids and teens use a card of their own to build money confidence. As a parent, you can send instant money transfers, set up chores, automate allowance, and more. It's a convenient way to run your household, customized to your family's needs, and the easy way to raise financially smart kids. Get started with Greenlight today and get your first month free at greenlight.com/odyssey.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
It's better over here.
Now at T-Mobile, get four 5G phones on us and four lines for $25 a line per month when you switch with eligible trade-ins. All on America's largest 5G network.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto-pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto-pay, plus taxes and fees and $10 device connection charge. Phones via 24 monthly bill credits for well-qualified customers. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on a required finance agreement due. Bill credits end if you pay off devices early. See T-Mobile.com.
What's going on, everyone, and good morning. Today is Tuesday, November 5th, and this is your daily Go Birds morning update, giving you all the Eagles news you need to know, as well as what to keep an eye out for today. And we have another jam-packed show for you today. A good way to start your morning, I think. I feel like a lot of Nick Sirianni talk yesterday, and yes, we will play Nick Sirianni explaining the situational decisions he made against the Jaguars, so I will play that for you. But between the Daily Pod, the Pod with BLG, listening to WIP about it, I think it's time to turn the page, at least for right now, on the Nick Sirianni thing. And let's focus on some other things from that Jaguars win, the 28-23 win over the Jaguars. Eagles sitting at 5-2, and man, this Dallas game this upcoming week, really looking winnable and slowly becoming a must-win game, which we'll talk about in a second. But first, let's get into this pod, as we always do, with what is on the schedule today. The coordinators, as they do on Tuesday, will be speaking. Kellen Moore, Vic Fangio, Michael Clay, and going to be an interesting one. So coordinators speak at around 11:15. Bryce Huff, as we're going to talk about in a minute, be interesting to talk to Vic Fangio about him. Only played 6 snaps against the Jaguars. Obviously, part of that is he was dealing with a hand issue, according to Nick Sirianni. But Vic Fangio has always been honest about Bryce. And so be curious to see, especially now with his name circulating in some trade rumors, if Vic is going to say anything on that. And then, of course, we'll talk to Kellen Moore. Some of the situational play calls, what went right on, or I should say, what went wrong on those two-point conversions, what went wrong on some of the fourth down attempts. Always good to get his perspective. And then Michael Clay, you know, I don't know what else really say besides Jake Elliott missed a kick he is supposed to make, or at least we, you know, that they have confidence in him that he'll make. But Michael Clay will talk, so it'll be good to hear from him. All right. Next up, we have the injury report, and no, the Eagles did not practice or do anything on Monday that was available to the media, nor will they today on Tuesday, but we do have an update on A.J. Brown, who left the game against the Jaguars with a knee injury. According to multiple reports, he is considered day-to-day. The news that came back from the MRI was good news. Doesn't seem he'll be missing any amount of significant time. Now, the obvious question is, what does this mean for Dallas? Nick Sirianni spoke on Monday and said they'll see how the week progresses. And another tricky part of this is after the Dallas game, they then have that short week up against Washington Thursday night at home. So two big games coming up, and we'll see if AJ's able to play. I think there's some tricky decisions here, right? Do you play him against Dallas knowing he has Washington just a few days later? Do you save him from the Dallas game so he can definitely play against Washington? If he misses both of those games, he gets quite a bit of time off before the next game. So some tough decisions, especially when you consider how important AJ is to the team. You know, you're happy that he's not significantly hurt. Obviously, that would have been a devastating blow, but there are some tricky decisions to be made here with how healthy he is, when you rush him back, and those type of things. So I'm sure that's something we'll talk about as the week goes on. But here's what you missed on Monday. Nick Sirianni spoke to the media, and as you would imagine, lots of questions about those situational play calls. And he talked about him. So he said after the game on Sunday that he would review all of the play calls and see if, you know, he still believed they were the right calls. And surprise, surprise, he did. So here's what Nick Sirianni had to say about all those crucial decisions against the Jaguars.
Yeah. You know, we've done pretty good at those in the past. And so you always think about everything. You think about who you have, you think about your past experiences with it. You always look at the analytics of it. And we've been pretty good on those. Today they did a good job. And so I'll look at everything. But everything in the moment, I'm always doing what I think is best for the football team. And today it didn't work, but that's the way it goes. That's the hat I have to wear, right? When we get a fourth down and we convert a fourth down, nothing's really said. When we don't, I understand that there's going to be questions. But again, I have to be able to have the balls to do that, really, at the end of the day, and say, am I doing everything I can do to help us win the game? And then those moments I thought I was, but I'll go back and relook at them. I'm always going to be hypercritical of myself.
So I'm not surprised that Nick said that. I mean, I do think in the past there's been times where he said, maybe I wouldn't have done that. But and we've talked about this at death, I think he made mostly the right decisions. Interesting to hear him say that. And I think it's an interesting component of this we haven't really talked about a ton. I mean, I know it's come up, but like Nick can make different decisions because of the talented players on his roster. Like I joked when I was talking to James about how Brian Daboll made that decision to punt on fourth down against the Eagles. What a loser decision that was. Well, it's a little tougher for Brian Daboll to make those decisions when he has a bad quarterback, a bad offensive line, and bad receivers if Malik Nabers isn't out there. So the personnel has to factor in here. And this is not like an anti-analytics rant or anything, but this is sometimes my issue when people say like, well, the computer said go for it, so they should have gone, or the computer said don't go for it, so he shouldn't have. The computer doesn't factor in the skill level of the players on the field. So when we talk about, go for two because then you're up 17 points instead of 16. Well, if you go, I'm sorry, kick the field goal because then you're up 17 points instead of 16. Well, the computer doesn't factor in, or that argument doesn't factor in, that with Saquon Barkley, Jalen Hurts, and the tush push, you probably have a better chance of ending up at 18 points than you would at 17 points, or at least a very good chance. Obviously, the extra point is a higher percentage play. But yeah, so I think Nick's belief in his players is definitely part of this. I think that when we talk about like traditional decisions that when we talk about traditional decisions that coaches make, those traditional coaches we've talked about in the past for other teams and other situations, they don't have this Eagles roster. So yeah, I think they were good decisions, but it was interesting to hear Nick say that. All right, next up. So today is Tuesday, big day, obviously. NFL trade deadline. So today is the last day teams can make trades. The NFL trade deadline ends at 4 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, and we will see if Howie does anything. Look, by the time you're listening to this, Howie could have already done something. And if he does, there will be an emergency Go Birds pod talking about it. But as we have talked about different players they could trade for, Za'Darius Smith of the Cleveland Browns is a name that's been rumored now to be maybe going to Detroit, but I think he'd be a good pickup for the Eagles. Our good friend Jimmy Kempsky, a Philly Voice, wrote an article mentioning a receiver, Kendrick Bourne from the Patriots, Calais Campbell from the Dolphins, like some interesting names on there. But Tom Pelissero of NFL Network had an interesting potential little nugget when he was on the Rich Eisen show. He was asked about the different edge rushers that could be moved, and here is what he had to say.
There certainly is going to be interest in guys like Bryce Huff, who was one of the Eagles' big free agent signings, played all of six snaps yesterday after getting his hand apparently banged up in warmups or something. That's a name that I would think is going to get some potential action. Aziz Ojulari is on that spot, on that list as well. Edge rusher is a premium position. There's a lot of teams that are going to be in that market.
So the idea of trading Bryce Huff on surface level is kind of crazy, right? They just gave him a ton of money. He's only been here for 9 games. They'd be really giving up on Bryce Huff really quickly. And for what it's worth, like, while the defensive line has been played better week after week, he's had some better snaps as well. So on the surface, the idea of trading your top free agent signing, I know Saquon has turned into that, but they signed Bryce Huff like off the bat, right? Like that was the first guy that was announced for the Eagles. The idea of trading him is pretty crazy. But when you look at it, the contract is actually pretty tradable, and the contract is actually, I would say, pretty attractive for the team that's acquiring him. So first, obviously, part of the reason that this is being discussed is that against the Jaguars, Bryce Huff only played 6 out of 54 defensive snaps. Now, Nick Sirianni was asked about this, and he said that Bryce was dealing with the hand issue that popped up before the game, and, you know, essentially said that was part of the reason. But Bryce didn't play, I don't think, at all in the first quarter. I think he might have gotten in at the end of the second quarter. So what I don't get is if he's dealing with a hand injury, then he either like shouldn't play or maybe play 1 or 2 snaps and then decide he can't play. 6 plays is a weird number. So I think it's definitely something to keep your eyes on. Now, I looked up the snap counts over the past few weeks. In weeks 1 through 4, Bryce Huff was playing around 43% of the snaps. That has dipped a little bit. It's a little under 37% of the snap. So not a huge drop, but still, you know, less than he has in the past. Now, The contract for trading Bryce Huff is actually, like I said, pretty manageable. If the Eagles were to trade Bryce Huff this season, they would save $1.25 million, $1.25 million saved against the cap. They would have a $3.25 million dead cap hit the next 4 seasons. Now, the issue is, obviously, they cut him a huge check as a signing bonus, right? And they guaranteed a bunch of money. So you'd be losing a lot of that just in terms of money spent for obviously not good production. The team that, I can't believe I'm yawning this much, I'm so sorry. The team that would acquire him would take on cap hits of $1.25 million this season, $1.75 million and $1.2 million. It'd be $1.25 million next season, $1.7 and $1.2, and then this season it would be right around $1 million. So a very attractive contract for a team to acquire. Now, I know that we can sit here and go, well, Bryce Huff's no good. Why would anybody trade for him? He's played terrible this year. I think Bryce Huff's play this year is more attached to how they want to use him in Vic Fangio than it is a lack of an ability to rush the passer. Now, that might not be a bad thing. The Eagles' defense has been awesome. Obviously, what Vic Fangio is doing is working. So you can't sit here and really question the Vic Fangio thing. But it's clear that Bryce Huff wants to play a different style of football than Vic Fangio wants him to play. So not only do I think the Eagles would be open to trading him, I think Bryce Huff would be very open to being traded from the Eagles and go somewhere that is going to better use him for his skill set. Like, let him do what he wants to do. So at, you know, the $35 million guaranteed where they wanted him to be an every down player and be great against the run and rush the passer, it didn't turn into that. But if you're another team and you're acquiring him for a cap hit of around $1.5 million, that is a very valuable player for $1.5 million. I mean, some rookies make more than $1.5 million. And Bryce Huff, while he's not played well this year, is still a good pass rusher if you put him in the right situation. So, look, they could watch the tape and decide he's no good anymore, but he got 10.5 sacks last year. He was a top player in free agency. Obviously, that meant other teams were trying to trade for him. I bet those other teams that were interested in him, and he listed them when they traded for him, I bet they would be interested in acquiring Bryce Huff. And my guess is he'll go somewhere else and play better if they trade him, because I think he'll be used in more role conducive to his skill set. So what would it take for the Eagles to trade Bryce Huff? Part of this, obviously, is a pride thing, right? This was one of the first free agents that Howie signed in free agency. They've invested a lot of guaranteed money into him. So I don't think you're going to see them trade him like for a 7th-round pick or trade him for, you know, the Eagles send back a 5 and Bryce and the other team gives up a 4. I think that they would want something of value for him. So I think we're talking about like a starting level player, like maybe a really good defensive tackle, maybe another edge rusher that they think better suits what Vic Fangio wants players to do. But I think there is a possibility Bryce Huff has moved today. I think it's something definitely, like, I think the player would probably be interested in, and I also think it's something that the Eagles would be interested in if the price is right. So that is definitely a name to keep an eye on as a trade deadline creeps closer today. should be an interesting day. Outside of just the edge rusher, I would look at backup tight end as a potential option of where the Eagles could make a move. I don't get the receiver thing. Maybe they will. And obviously with this AJ injury, maybe that kind of increases them wanting to go out and get a more substantial receiver, because now AJ, you know, has already missed three games. He could potentially miss two more or maybe one more. Like, you're talking about five, you know, basically over half the season AJ will have missed. So maybe they want to go out and get someone else. But Jahan Dotson has that big catch last week. They already traded a third round pick for a receiver. I don't think they'll get anybody of note. They'll probably just look for somebody that's an upgrade over Johnny Wilson. And then obviously they still have Britton Covey on the roster, but with him dealing with an injury, I don't think they expect him to contribute on offense this year. So receiver is something to look for. Maybe backup safety, just because they're a little thin there. Linebackers are playing awesome. They feel good about their backup linebackers. Defensive tackle, I think, could make some sense. I mean, you could really argue for anything. For a team that's competing to win the Super Bowl, you can add at every position, because you're both trying to increase your roster and you're trying to increase your depth just in case of an injury. But yes, Bryce Huff, a player to keep an eye on for today. On the other side, I saw an interesting tweet from Sheil Kapadia that got me thinking, and I have some thoughts on it. So I'm going to share that with you guys on the other side. But first, a word from our sponsors.
Want to teach your kids financial literacy, but not sure where to start? Greenlight can help. With Greenlight, parents can keep an eye on kids' spending and saving, while kids and teens use a card of their own to build money confidence. As a parent, you can send instant money transfers, set up chores, automate allowance, and more. It's a convenient way to run your household, customized to your family's needs, and the easy way to raise financially smart kids. Get started with Greenlight today and get your first month free at greenlight.com/odyssey.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law. It's better
over here. After investing billions to light up our network, T-Mobile is America's largest 5G network. Plus, right now, you can switch, keep your phone, and we'll pay it off up to $800. See how you can save on every plan versus Verizon and AT&T at T-Mobile.com/keep and switch.
Up to four lines via virtual prepaid card. Allow 15 days. Qualifying unlocked device, credit, service, ported 90 plus days with device and eligible carrier and timely redemption required. Card has no cash access and expires in 6 months.
So our good buddy, Sheil Kapadia of The Ringer, has been on the pod. Philly media legend, homegrown Philly media legend, tweeted something out earlier today, and I thought it was interesting. He tweeted that since the bye week, the Eagles are running it on essentially 61% of the time on early downs, which is the most in the NFL, like a major philosophical change for this team. So, obviously, like, we've talked about this. Are they a running team? Like, all those things. And I still stand by the fact I think they can pass the ball when they need to. But look, maybe I'm wrong. Maybe they're a straight-up running team. But what I thought was interesting is that, like, big different juxtaposition from what they were doing to what they're doing now and how it's improved their play. And I thought back to Lane Johnson saying, you know, if you remember in 2021, that game against the Detroit Lions, they started to run the ball, right? And it turned their season around. So I went back and I looked. So to Sheil's point, and this is according to a website, and I wish I could reference this better. This is what their URL is, and it's not clear what the name is, but you should definitely check it out. It's super interesting. RBSDM.com. The link is in Sheil's tweet. They do awesome work there, or at least obviously I just discovered it, but the website's really cool. And if you look on their early down pass rate, and this is excluding blowouts, so not like late in the game where obviously they're going to run it because they're trying to kill clock. Early down pass rates, which means first down, second down, and the point of doing early downs is when it's third or fourth down, like, it's very much situational. If it's third and one, you're more likely to run the ball. When it's first and 10, you have way more open to what you can do. So a good look at how much a team wants to throw the ball or run the ball is on the early downs. So the early down pass rate this season from weeks 1 to 4, the Eagles were essentially a 50-50 split. They were 51% passing, 50% running, and that was 16th in the league, the pass rate. So they were basically a 50-50 team, and they were basically dead in the middle of the league. Since the bye week, so the last four games that they've won, they are passing it on first down at 39.4% of the time, which to Shields' point, would give them a run rate of over 60%, just about 61%. So they went from throwing it and running it at a 50-50 split to going to a 60-40 split in favor of the run. They were throwing it a little bit more in the 50-50 split. Now they're running it somewhat significantly more on first down. So that's a big change for this team. They've gone from a team that is like trying to throw the ball in early downs to trying to run the ball early downs. So I went back and I looked at 2021. Weeks 1 through 7, and week 8 was the Detroit game. And for those that don't remember, remember they lost to the Raiders. The season looked like it was in peril. They go to Detroit. They run the ball like crazy, and they go on to set the franchise record for rushing yards in a season, and they make the playoffs. So from weeks 1 to 7, prior to that turnaround, they were throwing it on first down. For the early down pass rate was 61%. That was 7th in the NFL, so even higher than they were before. Clearly that was too much, and they made the change. After that Detroit game, so including Detroit, the Detroit game to the end of the season, their early down pass rate was 43rd. So both seasons, 2024 and 2021, they took an offense and a team that was struggling to an extent. Obviously, they didn't have AJ for three of the games this season. But prior to the bye week, they were 2-2. Season felt in trouble. Prior to the Detroit game, I think they were they 2-5? I mean, their record was not good. They go to Detroit. They turn it around. Post-bye, they turn it around. How did they do that? By running the ball, a major change, significantly more in the early downs. Now, the next question here is, so why did they do this? And what and whose decision was it, right? Because everyone wants to talk so much about, who's calling what play, how much control does Nick have of the offense? So I went and I looked. During Kellen Moore's 4 years at Dallas, so from 2019, so the 2019 season, 2020 season, 2021 season, 2022 season, those 4 years, he averaged about a 50-50 split, 50% passing, 50% running. It was a tick more on passing at 52% as opposed to 51% weeks 1 through 4 this year. So weeks 1 through 4, they were passing it on first down at a rate that was closer to what Kellen Moore has done or did during his time with Dallas. I didn't do Los Angeles because he didn't have Herbert a lot of the season. He was only there 1 year. It's not really sure it's a great indication of what he wants to be. So what's interesting is Nick was here in 2021. Nick is here now. In 2021, Nick saved the season by going to more of a run-first approach. In 2024, it feels like they have gone back to what made them win in 2021. And I think Nick was probably a big impetus for that. I'm not saying that he like slammed in and was like, this is what we're doing now. I'm sure Kellen Moore was on board with it too. I just think that if you want to talk about why is this team playing better, why is this team turning it around? Like everyone wants to give everybody credit but Nick, especially when it comes to offensive scheme. But the bottom line is if you look at how they're running their offense, early on this season, 50-50 split. Post bye week, heavy run rate. 2021, early on in the season, 61% passing. Wasn't working. What did they do? They went to that heavy run approach where they were 43% of the time passing it. So 60-40 again in favor of running. I think that's pretty interesting. They are clearly running more of a 2021 type of offense. And if you look at what they've become, and it's funny, you know, rewatching the game against the Jaguars, I came out of it like not feeling as good about Jalen as I did watching the game live. I thought he missed some easy throws. A few balls sailed on him. I thought there were throws to be made that he wasn't making. So I think this offense has kind of turned into run the ball, see what you get on first and second down, see if Jalen can make a big play on third down, which he has, by the way. Like, he made two, I mean, he had that big touchdown to Devontae on third down. He had the big completion to Devontae on 3rd and 6. So I don't think this is like a super slight of Jalen. I just think the winning formula for them might be run the ball, have Jalen throw it deep to the super skilled players, and see if you can get into a third down situation where Jalen can make a play. It's kind of what they did in 2021, only obviously they didn't have AJ Brown, so it was far less effective. But it feels similar to what they did. So look, this is just my opinion based off the numbers, but I think it's clear, like, Nick obviously still has say in this offense, and it's a positive because he has turned this offense around from what it was the first 4 weeks. He knows these players better. He's been around them better. He's been around Jalen since the beginning. He's been around AJ and Devontae. He's been around these offensive linemen. And I don't think it's a coincidence that when Lane and the offensive lineman went into the meeting with the coaches, when he spoke to the media, he brought up the Detroit thing in 2021. Like, a clear turning point in 2021 was that Detroit game. This season, a clear turning point is that bye week, and a clear turning point is the coaches it's seeming to talk to Nick. So I just wanted to throw that out there. It's just something I think that is interesting. Curious for your guys' perspective on it. I'm sure we will talk about it throughout the week. And as always, I really want to talk to you guys about it on Go Birds Radio. So I wanted to end the pod with this. And James is obviously not on the daily pod, but I spoke to James about it. And we both wanted to end the pod with this. So clearly today is a big day. It is NFL trade deadline. It is also election day. And as a podcast that talks about a lot of different things, like final thoughts, what we're doing, like all that, it would feel a little silly not to mention that today is election day. So Thomas Booker, the Eagles defensive tackle, who's played well this season when he's been out there, has been very active in speaking about the election. So I wanted to ask him, instead of me saying how I feel or James saying how he feels, why this Eagles player feels, Thomas Booker, feels it is important to vote. So I'm going to play that audio for you, and here's what Thomas Booker has to say.
I think that we all agree that there's things as a society that we can get better on and improve on. And I think one of the best ways you can do that is showing up at critical junctions like elections to make your voice known, and not only from a national sense, but from a local sense. I mean, as we all know, the presidential election is extremely important, but also when it comes down to the local laws that might be impacting you on a day-to-day basis, a lot of that's also on the ballots as well. So, I think for me, like, I look at civic engagement as one prong of, you know, a multi-faceted approach to improving society. Obviously, you want to be like a first-class citizen day-to-day, treat people how you want to be treated. But part of that is also showing up at elections, because I think a lot of the time we think that politics doesn't affect us or it's not relevant until it is relevant, until you do have something where it interferes or intersects with policy matters. So I kind of just want people to understand, like, don't be so short-sighted and that something hasn't happened to you where you've had to interact with policy. You know, so vote before that happens so that if that does happen to you, then you at least have people in office that are representing your best interest.
Is this some?
So, yeah, today is a big day. You know, maybe some of you guys are listening to this as you walk to vote. Maybe some of you guys aren't voting, like, who knows, right? But I thought it was an interesting message from Thomas Booker, a guy that is clearly very smart, you know, clearly does his homework on this. And as a member of the Eagles, like, I wanted to play his opinion for you on that. I respect him using his platform for it, and I think he deserves to be heard. So wanted to end the pod with that. It's going to be a wild 24 hours, trade deadline, lots of other things. But one thing that won't change, I will be talking to you guys Wednesday morning on the Daily Pod, and me and James will be recording a pod if there is a trade. So as always, as we always say to end the pod, he's Elliot, I'm James. I'll talk to you guys later.
Want to teach your kids financial literacy, but not sure where to start? Greenlight can help. With Greenlight, parents can keep an eye on kids' spending and saving, while kids and teens use a card of their own to build money confidence. As a parent, you can send instant money transfers, set up chores, automate allowance, and more. It's a convenient way to run your household, customized to your family's needs, and the easy way to raise financially smart kids. Get started with Greenlight today and get your first month free at greenlight.com/odyssey.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
It's better over here.
AT&T customers, switching to T-Mobile has never been easier. We'll pay off your existing phone and give you a new one free. All on America's largest 5G network. Visit T-Mobile.com/carrierfreedom to switch today.
Payoff up to $650 via virtual prepaid MasterCard in 15 days. Free phone up to $830 via 24 monthly bill credits plus tax. Qualifying port-in trade-in service on Go5G Next and credit required. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance and required finance agreement is due.
Getting help for mental health shouldn't be as hard as it is. Mindful Therapy Group is here to make your mental health journey as painless as possible. Mindful partners with thousands of licensed clinicians to find the perfect fit for you. And also accepts insurance. Visit MindfulTherapyGroup.com.
In the fast-paced world of attacking, speed is everything. And that's where the Furon 7 Plus shines. Engineered for accuracy and precision at a rapid pace, it's your secret weapon on the pitch. Experience overall comfort and precise striking, even in the game's fastest moments. The nylon outsole, with its V-shaped stud configuration, is designed for firm ground, giving you the grip you need to outmaneuver your opponents. Step up your attacking game and learn more and purchase the Furon at NewBalance.com.